putting up with having me. And I do want to say, I don't know if Brother Danny's still in here, but he fed me. He really fed me. And what a miracle. What a miracle the sovereign grace of God is. What a blessing to think that I'm saved for no other reason than God chose to save me. That is such a high and blessed thought. That is such an encouragement. That is the heart to worship God, to realize that He did it all on your behalf, and for nothing in you, nothing. You lose that. You really lose that with the Armenian persuasion that I did something to meet God halfway. No, I didn't do anything. There was nothing I could do. And if anything, I gave Him every reason to not save me. I gave Him every reason to condemn me. I gave Him every reason to leave me to myself. He saved me for no other reason than He is good. And He chose to. That is a blessing, to know that. To be able to say, why me? Why me? I look around. I look at the people I ran with. I look at the things that I did. And they're still in it. And why me? I gave Him no reason to save me other than He is good. And He chose to, and He purposed to before the foundation of the world. It's the only, when I look at myself, it's the only thing that makes sense. Because I certainly gave Him, I had nothing to offer God as good works. I had no good works. I was not a good person. I was not in the pews. You would have never looked at me and said, there's a future Christian. There's one. I was as wicked as they come, you know. But oh, how I thank Him, because I know what I was. And I know what I still am. But I'm a sinner. But now I'm a sinner saved by grace. It's a wonderful thing. So, that's not our subject. We'll be in Romans chapter 6 this morning. Romans 6, verses 11 through 16 is where we'll be. And what we'll be considering is Christian discipline. Christian discipline. But Romans 6, verses 11 through 16 say, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So before we get started, I'd like to pray one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Father, for who you are, for all your goodness, your mercy, and your grace towards us, Lord. Father, we pray today, Lord, that you would feed us. Lord, that you would glorify yourself, that we would just catch a glimpse of the glory of Christ. Father, that you would reveal him to us today, that you would by his presence encourage us today. Lord, that you would just work among us. Father, then, and above all, Lord, that you would help me. Lord, I'm so insufficient for what I need to be, Lord, for such a task. Father, I pray that you just be pleased to use me, be pleased to give me every word. Lord, I pray for Cadillac. I pray for Ryan today. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with them and bless them and help them. Father, and that you would meet with us here as well. And Father, I just ask these things. I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 11 again. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, verse 11, self-estimation. Likewise, reckon. To reckon or to esteem. In this case, to esteem self in a certain light. How should we who are saved view ourselves? Dead to sin, as the verse says. If we esteem ourselves dead to sin, it should have no control over us, no effect upon us. Sin should hold no sway over us. Ah, to dwell in this place of dead to sin. But as all practical holiness is in the Bible, it is there because we need the instruction. If we are to defeat sin in our lives, it starts in the mind. I am dead to sin. Therefore, I will not serve it. Not only dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. While sin will not move me, God shall. I am alive unto God. He shall consume my mind. He shall be who I esteem myself alive unto. He shall sway my thoughts, my actions. I must esteem myself a slave to his will. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 16 through 19 of Matthew chapter 15. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. The battle against sin starts from within. You are not a sinner because you choose to sin. You are a sinner because you were born with a sin nature. And from that sin nature comes that action. From the heart proceeds all these evil thoughts. Well, that's where sin starts. It starts in the thoughts of the heart. It is born there, and then it comes out in action. And though we're saved, and though we have a new nature, we still have the old nature. There, you know, oh wretched man that I am, as Paul says in Romans chapter 7. There should be, if you're saved, first of all, there should be a war. There should be an internal conflict. And if we are feeding, if we are walking with the Lord, if we are walking in that place of singing to ourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord, and in that place where we should be, we are feeding the spiritual man. And therefore we can expect to walk in that place of victory over sin. But don't fool yourself into thinking, because I'm saved, I'm all set. And because I'm saved, there isn't a practical walk that I need to maintain with the Lord. You know, that is the pitfall, that, well, I'm saved, so therefore I'm all set. I've got nothing to worry about here. I'm good to go. You know, I can put it in neutral. I can disengage. I can put my feet up. That is the most dangerous place for a Christian to be. We must be constantly vigilant against sin. Sin still dwells in us. It's in this wretched, corrupt flesh. And if we don't actively put ourselves and pit ourselves against that sin nature, we're going to fall. We're going to stumble. No, you can't be lost again. No, I mean, you're as saved as you'll ever be, but you're going to live a miserable life while on this earth and have a whole lot of things to answer to Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, we can't think that just because we're saved, that we're all set. We have a practical, holy life to walk with the Lord. And we have to be actively engaged in that. That's something that doesn't just naturally happen. We have to be vigilant. We have to set a watch. We have to be vigilant in this war. It's a war. Why is it there's spiritual armor in the Bible? Because it's a war. You know, you're not called to a life of ease and comfort. You're called to a war. And you're warring against, if the first person you have to war against is yourself. Daily I bring my body into subjection, Paul says. Daily I have to mortify the deeds of my members. It is a constant daily war
that starts with you. That starts with you. And if you aren't vigilant to constantly be feeding yourself from the Word of God, be praying and begging and pleading with God to lead me not into temptation, to keep, because I know what will cause me to fall. I know where I fail. I know the things that cause me to trip up. And so we need to be in a constant state of prayer before God, constantly feeding upon His Word, constantly walking with Him. Because that old man is just waiting. He's just waiting to rear his ugly head. He's just waiting for any opportunity to break through, to destroy our testimony, to ruin our day, to destroy our lives. Right. You know, Satan certainly wants to consume us and destroy us. But it isn't. But we also there's the inner man. You know, what does he use? How is it that we're susceptible to the attacks of Satan? Because we have a nature that would desire to go the wrong way. Right. We have a nature that would still be tempted to sin. You know the things that you struggle with. And if you're honest with yourself, it's a struggle, isn't it? There is a part of you that would like to give in to that. Because it's in your nature. It's your nature. Whatever it is that you're weak, the place you're weak, expect that's where you're going to be attacked. We've got to put the flesh to death daily. And we've got to be in the Word of God daily. We've got to be in prayer daily. So, self-estimation is where it starts. The war begins inside. We are dead to sin and alive unto God. We put to death the flesh daily. Verse 12 through 14 of our text. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Let not what begins in the mind moves to the members of our bodies. The battle for godliness has just begun. Control the inner man. It starts there. Now control the actions. Let not. Stop the flesh from sinning. Again, though grace has put new desires upon our hearts, sin still dwells in this flesh. It isn't something we can achieve without effort. If it were effortless, it wouldn't require instruction. You know, you have to understand. Anybody that thinks that when you're saved that there's no war, they're totally deceived. Because why is all this here? Why is all this here if it's not necessary? If it was automatic, then it wouldn't be in here. I mean, he's not talking to lost people here. He's talking to saved people, and he's saying to them, let not. And he's saying, we're under the grace. So who's he talking to? He's talking to saved people. We're not under the law, but we're under grace. So I know he's talking to saved people here. And yet he's telling them, let not sin therefore reign. Well, so if it was automatic, why does he have to say it? And you'll see that the instruction in holiness is like the majority of the epistles. You know, you see the greeting and you see the grace, and then you see the instruction for practical living. You know, that's the majority of the epistles. So if this was just automatic, it wouldn't need to be there. There is a war we must engage in. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 5, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. But who is this letter to? Think about this for a second. Who is the letter to the Colossians 2? To the church. Let's see here. Verse 2 of chapter 1 says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he is saying to them, now these are saved people, we know they are. This is a church, this is a letter to the church at Colossae. This is the faithful saints. And he's saying to them, mortify therefore the deeds of, mortify your members. Put all these things away. But you're going to have to actively do so. You're going to have to actively do so. So in other words, this is something we have to be engaged in constantly, vigilantly, every day, starting at the thoughts and the intents of the heart and moving to the members. We have to put these things actively to death. We have to. Those things that tempt us, we have to turn away. We can't let it in the heart. And if it's in the heart, we have to put it to death. And then we have to control the actions. This is an active engagement. The war against sin is a daily war. We have to put on the whole armor of God every day to do battle against ourselves and against our enemy. But it is something that we have to be engaged in. We cannot get lax. We cannot put our feet up and think that it's just like, I'm all set. You know, well, that sin doesn't bother me no more. That temptation, you know, that used to bug me, but, you know, it's been a long time. The minute you are not vigilant, the minute you let up, it's going to rear its ugly head. Mortify, to subdue, to abase, to humble, to reduce, to restrain as inordinate passions. Because of our nature, sin will reign if given the chance. If you are a child of God, found in this condition, expect chastisement. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 11. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. But again, I think there is a school of thought today that thinks that, well, you know that exists because, you know, we're not under the law, we're under grace. And so there's this idea that we can just take off and live any old way we want. First of all, most of them are probably lost. Let's just be honest. I mean, because if there's no inner conviction over sin, if they can just live in darkness and wickedness, I don't believe they know the true grace of God. Because the true grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But also, we who are saved can get to the point where we think that because I'm saved, things should be easier. Things should be less difficult. And I think that might end up being a theme today because our 11 o'clock message is going to kind of go along those lines too. But we need to understand we're in a war. We're in a war against sin. We're in a war against Satan. Life didn't get easier when the Lord saved you. And I'm sure that you that have walked with the Lord long enough know that. You know that it is a battle. And when you disengage, you are overwhelmed, you are overcome, and you can expect chastening. You can expect God is faithful. He's not going to allow you to just keep going down that road. If you're his, at some point he's going to crack you over the head and he's going to get you back on the right track. You know, and if it has to hurt, it'll hurt. But God is faithful to not leave us there. He's going to bring us back. So you can expect chastening in that condition. But sing with David, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We should thank God for the rod of chastisement. We should strive to depart from sin. But thank God, he pulls us back when we would go astray. Verse 13, yield not your members to sin, but unto God. That is, yield or submit your members unto God. Let your hands do his bidding. Let your feet walk in his way. Let your lips speak forth his praise. Actively strive to do the will of God at all times and in all seasons. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. When we are yet under the law and all are outside of grace, the law has authority over and every right to condemn the sinner. But when brought under grace, the law no longer can condemn you. Therefore, sin has no more claim upon you. One of the mysteries of the Christian life is our new relationship with sin. It has lost its grip on us, yet it causes us to mourn like never before. When I was lost, I had exponentially more sin in my life, yet it didn't bother me. Now, though I sin a fraction of what I used to, it is my greatest torment. Oh, to be free of this sin-cursed body, to be clothed with the incorruption of Christ. Oh, wretched man that I am, oh, blessed man I shall be. But again, you know, if you're saved, you should have a new relationship with sin. And though you may sin a lot less than you ever used to, though you may strive to walk in that place of walking with God, there is just a vileness. You know, the longer I've walked with the Lord, the more I really am just repulsed by me. The more that this corrupt thing just is repulsive. Because I know him, I love him, he died for me, he gave his life for me, he shed his blood for me, and yet I can still sin. And I sin against light. You know, it's not like I'm walking in darkness anymore. It's not like I'm ignorant anymore. But to sin in the saved condition, and we're lying to ourselves, we never sin. But to sin in the saved condition, to sin against light, it just rips me up inside. You know, I can't say that I've walked in sinless perfection. I cannot say that I am perfect. And I hope you realize that you shouldn't be able to say that either. And if you do, I have to think you're deceiving yourself. Because it says, you know, in 1 John, it says that we can go to him and confess our sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we still sin. Nowhere near like we used to. But it should be your greatest torment is that I'm saved and I love him and he loves me. He gave his life for me. He died for me. What am I doing here? What am I? Why are my thoughts here? Why are my actions? What am I doing? And that should just be such a heavy weight, heavy burden to carry. If sin does not disgust you, if you are not your greatest enemy, look a little closer. Sin in our saved condition is a torment. And then finally, verse 15 and 16. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so... Oh my goodness, I read all of that and realized I'm in the wrong chapter. I am so sorry. My mind was thinking about notes and not realizing what I was actually reading. I am sorry. Let me get in the right chapter. Verse 15 and 16 of chapter 6. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So verse 15 and 16, self-servitude. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. If salvation is your license to sin, you are no recipient of the grace of God. You have a false salvation wrapped up in a false gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What does he save them from? Sin. Matthew 1 and verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He did not come to be your meal ticket out of hell. He did not come so you could live like the devil and then go to heaven at the end of your life. He came to save you from your sin. And if he has saved you from your sin, then you should be walking in the reality of that. Your life should reflect that. Yeah, we know. We know the things that we deal with. We know that we are still sinners. But if you are actively walking in sin, if that is the manner of your life, If there has not been a drastic change, as we heard about earlier, where your life was drastically transformed, you are no recipient of the grace of God. You find me someone in the Gospels. You go through all four books of the Gospels. You find me one person that came to Jesus and left the same. You find me one person that came to Jesus and was not drastically transformed. No, not just reformed, not just took on a little religion. If they came blind, they left seeing. If they came lame, they left walking. You can't find me one person in the Gospels that came to Jesus and left the same. You should be different. You should be different. And you should. You should be walking in the light that Jesus died to save me from my sins. If you can walk in sin, if you can continue in sin, I fear for you. I truly do. It isn't, I'm not just trying to sound religious. I'm not just trying to sound like I'm stepping on your toes. But if you're not walking in a constant state of fighting against sin, there's a problem. There's a saying in the world today that goes, "We are not under the law, but under grace." These very words are used to excuse religious people from their sin. I don't think they realize Paul used these exact words to preface "God forbid." Look at that. I mean, I have heard people say that. I have talked to people that are in this stuff that is very loosey-goosey, very, very just, you know, Jesus saved me, I can live any old way I want. And they will use those very words. We're not under the law, we're under grace. You look what we just read. Verse 15, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." God forbid. I mean, this is how strongly Paul feels about this. This is how strongly the inspired word feels about this. God forbid. That should be your heart's cry. I don't want to sin. God forbid. He died to save me from my sins. I don't want to sin. Verse 16. "Know ye not who you serve is who you obey? Though I am saved as I'll ever be, I must strive against sin and yield myself to God. I must serve him and I must fight myself to do so." Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is our reasonable service, to present our bodies, present our being, present ourselves in the fullest capacity as a living sacrifice unto God. Daily putting to death sin in this mortal body. Daily starting with that war in the heart. Then the war in the members. And yielding ourselves to God. Fighting and striving against sin. This is not something we can take lightly. This is not something we can disengage. We have to be daily engaged in this fight. If there's any hope of living that life of victory over sin. I want to live a life serving the Lord. I want to live a life walking with the Lord. And if I am found constantly in sin, you're going to live a life of misery. You're not going to be. That's not a life of joy and peace and happiness. That's a life of misery. That's a life of, yep, you're saved, but you will be miserable while you're here on this world. And then in the world to come, when you stand before Christ and give an account for what was done in this body, you're going to have a lot to give account for. And there will be weeping and there will be sad, you know. You're going to see all of the loss, you know. We'll just go read that so you guys understand what I'm saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to make sure that I'm not being muddy or confusing here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 11. Says, "Therefore, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Notice that. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Notice that about the foundation. You're as sure on that foundation as you'll ever be, but your works will be tried. You know, what you did with this life that Christ gave you will be tried by fire. And what was useless, what was worldly, will be burned away like the chaff in the wind. But conclusion, the Christian life is not ease, it is a war. And that war is fought first with ourselves before we can take the fight to the enemy. Let us determine to strive against sin. Brother Charlie, will you close us in a word?